Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Old Testament, New Testament, law, grace. What applies to us today? We all know we're not under the law, we're under grace. But does that mean there is no law for a Christian? What part do the Ten Commandments have in the life of a believer in the 21st century? These are all good questions and well worth asking, and the answers have a deep impact on our daily life. Find out why in a few minutes right here on Skies Revival Radio. As we asked earlier, we have the Old Covenant, we have the New Covenant, we have law, we have grace. What applies to us today? We know we're not under the law, we're under grace. But does that mean that there is no law for a Christian? And what part do the Ten Commandments have in the life of a believer in the 21st century? These are all very good questions and well worth asking. Lots of confusion has resulted from our inability to reconcile seemingly opposing scriptures. We are all well aware that we are under grace and not under the law. That's the cornerstone of our faith in Jesus, right? Correct. But what does it mean that we are not under the law? Does it mean that we are not under any law? Are we to figure out for ourselves what is pleasing to God or what pleasing God is supposed to look like? If we're not under the law, does it even matter that we should try to please God? Does God even require any change? Much of what we hear today would leave us wondering what the salvation of Jesus really looks like. One of the most commonly held positions today is that we go forward to the altar, receive Christ by faith, and then we're done. Come as you are, stay as you are. No change required, and it's evident in so many lives that we have taken these things to heart because believers seem to be hardly distinguishable from non-believers. Believers are caught up in all the things of the world. They watch the same things. They do the same things. They seek the same things. They have the same priorities as non-believers. Is this what the Bible really means? When it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. We seem to have no standard for what it means to be a new creature in Christ today. And I think it's high time to get back to the ancient paths where the good way is. And that's exactly what we've been doing here on this series called Through the Narrow Gate, the Surprising Door to Radiant Life. You can buy this study in book form if you'd like to and follow along. It's available at Amazon or as a PDF download from our website, theskies.org, and it's well worth getting. You'll really enjoy the cartoons and the illustrations on every page, and it is very helpful to have the book with you as we're going through these lessons. In the last lessons, we sought to clear up the confusion about what it means to be not under the law by examining one of the cornerstones of the Reformation. By examining the Bible carefully, we find that the law actually comes under two headings, and this is something the great reformers brought clearly to light. The first is the ceremonial law, which was the prescribed offerings that were sacrificed for the temporary covering for sin. That and the strict dietary regulations make up what we know as the ceremonial law. This law was replaced by the coming of Jesus. He was the true sacrificial lamb who took upon himself the sins of the world. Once for all time, he took the penalty for our sins, and through his sacrifice, we are redeemed. But this is not where it stops. There is another law. There is another meaning for law. And this law is called the moral laws. And this law consists of the Ten Commandments and the other laws of the Old and New Covenants that govern the behavior of man. This law, the moral law, is not canceled out. This is the law Jesus referred to when he said, "Until heaven and earth pass away, not a stroke of the law shall pass away." And he also said, "He who keeps and teaches the commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven." This moral law was upheld by Jesus as part of the new covenant. And if we think about it, how could it be otherwise? It is simply the standard of behavior that pleases God. If there were no moral law, we could live any way we want and not be liable for judgment. And unfortunately, that's the way many of us live today, completely careless to the standard that Jesus confirmed. Let's remember, the Sermon on the Mount is nothing more than an exposition of the Ten Commandments, going over them, amplifying them, and instructing that it is not good enough to keep the letter of the law, we must also keep the heart of the law. That means we need to be cleansed even from evil thoughts as well as actions. Jesus doesn't really give us the impression that because we're saved by grace, we can live with one foot or both feet in the world. However, there is a change that does take place in the moral law. The change in the character of the moral law is what Paul was addressing when he said we are no longer under the curse of the law. We are no longer bound to obey perfectly in order to go to heaven. Through Jesus, we can be forgiven each time we stumble so that we no longer need to be in terror that we fell. We can run to Jesus, fall on our knees, confess our sin, and be washed clean again. And this is the glory of the new covenant. However, it says in the new covenant that each lawless deed will be punished. Though we can be forgiven, yet there are harsh consequences to breaking God's moral law. Jesus said that whoever breaks the least of the moral law and so teaches others, will be the least in the kingdom of heaven. Each sin is punished, and that without fail. Test this out if you want. Next time you do something brilliant at work, why don't you think highly of yourself or be smug or proud? Boy, you'll be knocked off your perch so fast you won't know what hit you. And I can speak from personal experience with this. As a novice rider, I was out on horseback one day. Believe me, it wasn't a pretty sight. We stopped for a minute, and I was marveling at how well I had stayed in the saddle. The very next second, before I could even think, I was flat on the ground. And mind you, the horse was still standing still. I was shaken off like a fly. And I wish I could say that was the last time a proud thought brought me humiliation, but I have been brought low on many occasions. When we sin, there is a punishment that is attached to it. But there are two different characters to the punishment. Listen carefully to this, because this makes a big difference in your life. The punishment for the sin of a non-believer is stored up as judgment. But the punishment for the sin of a believer is administered as discipline. The disciplinary hand of our loving Father, who wants to correct us and make us into good kids. So much of the grief and misery we endure comes from the punishment of sin. And many times we might not even be aware of how we have sinned. In fact, it's possible today to live in gross violation of the Ten Commandments and not even know it. And that's because we're so soft on sin these days. We don't ever talk about sin, and as a result, we compare ourselves with each other, and as long as we don't look too different from everyone else in church, everything is fine. No, everything is not fine. We have lowered God's standard, but God has not lowered God's standard. So as we drift lower and lower, reaping more and more consequences of sin, we can't understand why we have no joy, why we have no song, why we're on antidepressants. This is the state of the church by and large as we travel from city to city and from state to state and from province to province. We see a church with no victory and with no joy. The primary consequence of sin is that it puts a veil between us and God. Something comes between us. And since Jesus is the fountain of life and the source of all joy, guess what happens? Our joy dries up. Our peace dries up. Our living water of God dries up. And we become empty. And this is what this book is about. It's about dealing with the emptiness in the life of so many of God's people today. Deal with the sin that is in your life. Find out where you're sinning. Examine God's good laws and see where you have neglected the counsel of God. Don't gloss over it. This is the surprising door to radiant life. Don't look around and say you're no worse than anyone else. Deal with your sin. Go to God, ask His forgiveness, ask Him to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, and He gladly will do so. And with that cleansing comes a flood of joy that you may have never experienced in your life before. This is true radiant life, unbroken fellowship in the presence of God. This is life itself. Now, what happens if we don't want to give up the things of the world? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. What if we can't part with our love for all the things of the world? The violence, the lustful movies, the games that fill our lives? That's a good question, isn't it? And this is where you have to make a hard decision. Do you want the world or do you want the Lord? You cannot have both, no matter what slick theology you come up with. The Bible clearly says, do not love the world, nor the things of the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. So, you see, it is a choice. It's a hard choice. And this is what separates those who label themselves as Christian from those who are true Christ followers and Christ lovers. You may think that you are chosen of God and therefore predestined to become conformed to Christ's image, that it doesn't really require any effort on your part. But if you choose the world and will not let go of the world, do not deceive yourself any longer. The true gospel of the new covenant is that Jesus would cleanse us from our sins. Anything short of that, and the new covenant has not even gotten a grip of us yet. The gospel demands change. The power of the old-fashioned gospel is that it changes lives. It takes those who are living in the world, filled up with violent thoughts, filled with lustful thoughts and desires and transforms them into blameless, innocent children of God in the midst of this perverse generation. God is doing a cleansing work right now. He has set up a plumb line. He has established a razor edge to divide those who love him from those who love the world. If you would be prepared to meet Jesus, if you fashion yourself as the bride of Christ, it is time to get out of the world and get the world out of you. This is the time. Do not think that sometime in the future, when you see evident signs of the time, you'll suddenly get your act together. No way. Jesus is coming at a time when you least expect it. You may think you know the signs of the times, but you don't. Jesus could easily come this afternoon, and that would catch a lot of people off guard, wouldn't it? So please hear the call and heed the call. It's time to get up and get out of the world. Have nothing to do with the modern trends. Forsake compromise. Does your idea of a worship service look like a rock concert? And are your worship leaders looked on as stars? Throw yourself before the Lord and repent. God will not share his glory. This is vain. This is vain worship. Is your life full of all compromise and worldliness? Is your life saturated with images from the internet, from your sensual video games and your enticing commercials? These things have no place in heaven and should have no place in the life of any true believer in Jesus. We are to be washed from these things. Do not let any bogus theology rob you of your eternal inheritance. Sin separates us from God. It is the only thing that can harm us. So the Ten Commandments have a prominent place in the life of a believer because the commandments define what is sin to God. It doesn't make any difference what we think is right and wrong. It does not matter what our standard might be. The Ten Commandments reflect what is sin to God. And that's why it's so important for us to know and to study the commandments. Since Jesus devoted his first and greatest sermon to teaching on the commandments, it is very much in our best interest to heed his word. As we examine the commandments, we find there are 8 things not to do and 2 things to do. 8 specific things God has commanded we must not do, and 2 specific things that we must do. These, along with their New Testament counterparts, are the most important things that God desires to see in the lives of his children. And because they are so important to God, they are also important to God's enemy. The devil has a job on planet Earth, and he does it very well. You could almost say he's a perfect devil. His design is to lead us into death by separating us from the source of life. Sin is what separates us from God, who is the source of life. Since God has defined exactly what sin is, the devil simply works off the same list. This perfect devil's job is to meet us first thing every morning and do everything in his power to make us do every commandment we're told not to do and not do every command that we're supposed to do. And he loves his job, and that's why it's so easy to be bad and so hard to be good. The devil sets himself against us every day to cause us to do the very things that offend God. And that's why even if we've had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home, we can't be content to think that we're not subject to the gross temptations of the world or that we'll automatically be good. In fact, quite the contrary. Every single one of us, from the worst murderer to the most innocent little girl growing up in a Christian home is born with the same exact sinful nature. Those who are pure and striving after righteousness become the particular target of God's enemy, and that is part of the cost of discipleship. I'm going to have to leave off here because of lack of time, but there's a lot more to this chapter, and we're just getting started. So please join us next week as we go further into this chapter and examine how the Ten Commandments play in the life of a New Testament believer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, please help us to walk in a way that pleases you. Help us to walk after your good laws. Help us to have your good laws written on our hearts so that we love them and they're not a burden to us, but they are our greatest joy. By this we know we have truly come to know you and that we love you, that we love your commandments and they are not burdensome to us. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this lesson. May we all grow in you. Amen. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitefield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Skies Celtic Revival CD, which is available on the Sky Family website or on iTunes.
Hey.